I hope you guys are excited. We are about to start a five-part series on one of the most requested topics that you guys gave me when I gave you surveys to fill out, and that is dating.
Surveys.
Yeah, you didn't, but...
Who requested that?
What's the first place that we can start looking to?
Yeah, okay, that's totally fair, actually. First place that you can start looking to is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And then, actually, honestly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 or Luke 17, whichever one you prefer, because we're going to talk about both. We're going to talk about more than that, but those are the first ones we're touching. You know what? Just go to Luke 17. I'm indecisive. Luke chapter 17. Flip to it. That's where it's at.
No, I literally opened to it.
Oh. Anyways, so we're talking about dating tonight, and this is the first part of a five-part series. The way this is going to work out, I just kind of changed the schedule a little bit. But this week, we're talking about the what does the Bible say about dating? Next week, we're going to talk about sexual purity. Love that. The week after that, and the week after that, we're going to talk about a husband and a wife, like the things that you should be looking for in each other and the things that you should be trying to be yourself. And then after that, the fifth night, I think I'm going to end up doing something kind of special. I'm trying to email some married couples in the church and see if we can get some guest people in to talk to you guys about their experience dating. Try to give you some practical examples of the things we're going to be talking about. But dating is something that people think about a lot. And I'm just going to tell you a bit about my own story. From the time I was in junior high school, I was really wanting to get married. And this was entirely a result of the culture that I was brought up in. But in my mind, as a junior higher in the church and as an early high schooler in the church, I just had this idea that the fulfilled Christian life meant getting married and having kids. And that's just where it was at. There was nothing better than that. If you were single, you're an idiot. That was where junior high John was. And, So obviously I've grown a lot since junior high. And one of the things that I did a lot is that in junior high and high school, I read every book I could get my hands on about Christian dating. I interviewed a bunch of the married couples in our church. I was constantly talking to the youth pastors about it. I was one of those youth groupers that filled out the survey and I just wrote dating for all of the answers. That was where my mind was at. I was I want to do this right. I want to do it well. I want to I want to get married. And that means dating correctly. And I was all into that. And the thing that you find is that every time you talk to a Christian, most of the time they're this is how a Christian dates. This is the exact process you have to follow. Biblical courtship is a really big one right now where it's you look across the aisle and you're looking at someone that you're that's a mature person that I might want to marry. Have you dated them? No, but that's a person that I might want to marry. Let me talk to their parents and then their parents can talk to my parents and they can organize this relationship until it flourishes into a marriage potentially. What I just gave you is a quick and dirty version of a very common style of dating that a lot of pastors will endorse. And that's the kind of thing that I thought about. I always had all of these specific pieces of information. And then junior high John grew up a little bit and got to junior and high school John. And when I was a junior in high school, I had my first girlfriend where she asked me out. And it was a person who was on the Bible Club leadership with me. We dated and I poured all of my effort into doing all of the things that I had been studying for the last 5 years and all the books I had read and all the advice that I had gotten and everything was regimented where it's we got to meet these people at this time. We got to integrate into each other's lives at this point. These are the conversations we have to have at this point. And I was going ham. And exactly 2 weeks later, she dumped me over text. And I'm sure you can imagine why. Yeah, so that's a big part of it. But the thing is, in my perspective, I was always thinking, there's a specific way to go about dating to do it right. There's a specific set of steps to follow, and then you get married at the end. And then I poured all of my effort into trying to get this relationship to work out, and it ended in one of the quickest and most embarrassing ways possible. And it caused me to take a step back and look at the Bible and look at everything that I had been learning about dating up to that point. And I thought to myself, okay, people keep telling me that this is the Christian way to date. Is that true? And I went to the Bible and I tried as hard as I could to find any of the things that I had been taught growing up about dating in the Bible, and I could find none of them. All of the specific processes that I had been given, all of these instructions about when to have what conversation and how to involve people and what dating is supposed to look like, none of it was in the Bible. None of it. And I was upset and I was just like, man, have I been wasting all of this time? And I took a step back and over the next couple of years, I was like, okay, what does the Bible say about dating? That's our title tonight. What the Bible says about dating. Here's the punchline. Nothing. absolutely nothing. Yeah, right. So the Bible says nothing about dating. In the Bible's eyes, there is no category called dating. Like in a modern American culture, we're like, okay, well, first you're friends, and then you're going out on dates, and then you're dating, and then after you're dating, then you get serious. And after you get serious, then you're boyfriend and girlfriend. And then you get really serious, and then you get engaged, and then you get married. And then like over the course of that, with every new stage, there's like more things that you're allowed to do. You know, the boundaries lessen. And the thing is, the Bible knows absolutely nothing about those extra categories and that loosening of boundaries as you go. In the Bible's eyes, there are single people and there are married people. So there's a lot that I actually can't tell you about dating. But here's what we start with. The Christian definition of dating. As we are going into the world and we're thinking about dating, this is what it is. It's two single Christians, a man and a woman, deciding if they want to get married. Notice I said single Christians, because even when you're dating, you're still single. All of the same things that were acceptable for you to do or not to do with the person before you started dating are still the boundaries that you have once you start dating. Nothing changes. If it was impure to do beforehand, it's impure to do afterward. And that's like something that we can start, and it gives us context and premise for everything else we're going to talk about tonight. But dating is not a special category. And additionally, this gives us one more thing. You see, you'll notice it says deciding if they want to get married. I want to read you 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that's talking about marriage. He's saying, don't marry unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? And essentially what that comes down to is this. If you are friends with a non-Christian, that's fine. But if dating is making the decision about whether or not you want to get married, if you know they're a non-Christian, you already know the answer to that question. So this is going to be two Christians deciding if they want to get married, right? And what that means is this. I could find nothing in the Bible about dating specifically, but the Bible does talk about the way you are supposed to go about relationships with other Christians. And so all of the things that apply to how you go about relationships with other Christians also apply to dating, because it's just two people who are Christians in a relationship with each other, like a friendship, deciding if they want to get married. So all the same rules apply. We're just applying them to dating specifically, because that's the cultural context we're in. So I'm going to give you three things. You know, back when I was growing up, I had lists a mile long of all the specific rules and things that you had to do when you were dating someone, and I could rattle it off like nothing. And after my little epiphany, I've boiled it down to three. There are three things, and only three things, that I can tell you with 100% certainty about how you go about dating with as a Christian, which makes things easier for you. And the first one is this. The first one is do not sin with or tempt each other. And again, this is just... what does the Bible say about how you function in relationships with other Christians? Because let's just start with Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 39. This is a portion of the Bible that all of us know pretty well. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you're going into a relationship with another person, whether it be a friendship or otherwise, the most important thing to you in that situation is that you're not sinning against God, because God is the most important person in that circumstance. But here's the second one. If you love that person, do you want them to sin against God? No.
Yeah.
It's a fat no. Because when you sin, it brings consequences into your life. When God gives you instructions, it's because sin is damaging to you. And if you love someone, you're not going to try to get them to sin. And also, you're not going to sin. And this is one of those things where it's like, if you're around someone and you're dating someone, this is actually something you can kind of evaluate. It's like, okay, are they trying to push boundaries? Are they convincing me to sin? Are they causing my life and my relationship with God to suffer? Is it a temptation to be around them? Break off that relationship. That is not something you need. That is not something you want. So first of all, when you're in a dating relationship with someone, your primary goal is that you're not sinning against them and that they are not tempting you to sin. and that you're not tempting them to sin. And that's something that you can use to evaluate someone, but that's also just the goal you have in that circumstance. And we're going to talk next week about sexual purity, where we're going to like expand a specific instance of this, but this can be a lot of things. Every time you're around them, are you gossiping with them? Are you encouraging them to have a bad attitude towards their parents? Are you encouraging them to blow off job or school responsibilities? If you're doing that, you're failing. You're going about dating wrong. And if they're doing that with you, you need to seriously consider if you need to break that off. Because your first priority is not sinning. And if you love them, then you need to make sure that they're not sinning with you. You guys shouldn't be a source of temptation to each other. So that's number one. But here is number two. Number two. Oh, wait, I need to read the verse that I got that from. Okay, Luke 17, since I had to turn there. It's Luke 17, 1 through 3. It says, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. And Jesus is saying here, like, temptation exists. We are in a tempting world. Do not be the source of temptation in someone else's life. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. And Jesus says, don't tempt other people. And he gives you the specific example of don't tempt kids. And this is a portion of the Bible where Jesus is like, hey, don't tempt kids. Kids matter to me. Like when I get up here and I'm talking to you guys, if what I'm saying is not right, it would be better for me to have a millstone tied around my neck and get chucked off the Huntington Beach pier.
Did you guys know what a millstone is?
A millstone is just a really heavy rock. So just think like, rock around my neck, chuck me into the ocean, I'm going to drown. That is better than if I teach you something that's not accurate. Additionally, it's better than if you are, you know, tempting the person you're dating to sin. Or if they're tempting you to sin, you're allowing that. That's a big deal. Right after this is a section about Jesus saying, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Not into it. Here's the second one. It's not just that you don't want to sin against each other or tempt each other, but also be an encouragement. Be an encouragement to one another. If you love someone and if you care about that person, then one of your goals in their life is that you want them to grow. For example, consider Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And again, this is just how Christians interact with each other. If you are a Christian, you're interacting with other Christians, you want to help them grow. And that doesn't necessarily mean like every time you see them, you're going to be opening up the Bible and praying with them, and you're going to be ultra spiritual, and you can't have any conversations that aren't about Jesus. But think about if you're dating someone and you care about them, you want them to be stronger after your relationship ends, or you want them to be stronger for you as your relationship continues. You know, I think last year when we were talking about our sexual purity message out of 1 Corinthians, I told you guys about Joy and how a conversation that I regularly had with her was, if our relationship ends, I want you to be better off for it. I want your next boyfriend to be able to appreciate the contribution that I made in your life, and vice versa. And that was a conversation that we had just in the entire process, that we both wanted to be stronger people for the relationship having happened. And this is kind of a big thing, but if you go into a relationship and you're not sinning with each other and you're not tempting each other and you're also helping each other grow, even if it doesn't work out, you don't have to regret that relationship. Like in my case, I've gone on dates with 9 people. I've dated 5 of those 9. And I don't regret a single one of those relationships. And I don't have to regret a single one of those relationships because nothing happened. And so I was able to leave and exclusively have learned from and grown from the relationships. And that's what I want for you guys. And like, when we're talking about being an encouragement, think about this. Once you're married, we talked about this in Genesis chapter 2, but once you're married, what's the guy's job? Anyone remember? What's the guy's job? Genesis chapter 2. To lead. That's right. To lead. In fact, it's not only just to lead, but it's the spiritual growth of his wife. How about this? What's the girl's job? Genesis chapter 2. What's the woman's responsibility?
What's the opposite of lead?
To follow. We talked about a specific H word. Anyone remember it? Used only else. What is it? Helper. Yeah. That's right. So the guy's job is to spiritually lead and encourage the wife. And then the wife's job is to spiritually help and encourage the husband. Like in a marriage, both people are trying really hard to grow the other person, right? If you're dating someone and it is impossible to talk to them about the Bible, it is impossible to pray with them, it is impossible to have any spiritual substance at all in the dating relationship, that is not going to change when you get married. That doesn't get better. So you should be going into the dating relationship thinking, I want this person to be stronger for my influence. And also, you should be thinking, is this person an encouragement to me? Because, like, if they're not, find someone who is. That's literally their purpose in the relationship. That's the whole reason that they're there, is to help you get stronger and for you to help them get stronger. So be spiritual encouragements to each other. And also, check and see if the other person's a spiritual encouragement to you. Like, this is a thing that you can evaluate them with. And again, this applies to every relationship, and we're just applying it to dating specifically. But, I mean, I kind of want to give an example. So, I've dated a few people that had, like, serious issues with their parents, where it kind of ranged from just, you know, conflict-ridden relationships to outright them hating their parents. And one of the things that I was actively thinking about was, like, okay, I want to be an encouragement in this area. I definitely don't want to have a bad attitude towards her parents. And also, I want to be praying for her about this. And it doesn't mean that every time we're hanging out, I'm just like, so how are you and your parents? You know, I noticed that there's a problem there, and I think I'd like to help you grow. You know, like, I'm not a spiritual leader in someone's life. Until the moment I get married, I am the spiritual leader in not her life. So, but there's ways that you encourage peers. Like, Jackson and I have a relationship, and we'll talk to each other about the things that each other do well, and we'll encourage them in that. Or we'll talk to each other about things that we think the other person could grow in that we're not strong in. And it's not because one of us is, like, in charge of or over the other. It's because we're both peers, and we care about each other. The same thing should exist in a dating relationship between you and the person you're dating. And you should be thinking about how to grow them. And it doesn't mean always having these hardcore spiritual conversations, but it's like being aware of things, tracking it, trying to like model a better way to do it, and potentially having a conversation. And it's not like every relationship I was in, I was like really, really trying to help the other person, and it wasn't, you know, bi-directional. Like, not at all. I'll give you an example from me too. There's probably more than this, but just like, one of the things that I have a hard time with is I'm not a particularly fun person. All growing up, I was one of those guys where, like, when I was a junior in high school, I had mapped out my entire life until I was about 28 years old, where I was like, spent a ton of time, and I was like, these are all the possible paths that my life could take. This is the time in my life where I have to make decisions for each one. And that was when I was a junior in high school, and I'm actually still on the path that I mapped out for myself in junior year of high school. Like, everything's more or less gone as it should. Which, imagine how incredibly boring that kind of person is. And that's exactly who I was, man. And he had, yep. And, there were people that I dated because I watched their lives and I was like, that's a person who enjoys their life. Where, like, I was just in a spot, well, not like watching a creepy, well, just like I knew these people. Okay, Adam. But I was like, that's a person that's spontaneous. That's a person that enjoys themselves. I want to get better at that. And I grew significantly in that area because of the impact of specific women that I dated. So I've grown. And that should be your goal. You should be thinking about that. You should be pursuing that. That is a good thing. And that's literally the purpose of these relationships. But there's a third one. And this, I'm hoping, is really encouraging. Point number three. Yeet. I'm kidding. That's not it. Point number three. Point number three is have fun.
No. It's too late. It's yeet.
It's yeet. We've already written yeet in our handouts. No, yeah. So, number three. Have fun. Enjoy it. Which we've talked in the Q&A, for example, where I was telling you, like, the purpose of dating is not recreation, is not to have fun. The primary reason that you date is not to have fun. But also, if you're dating someone and you're not sinning with them and you guys aren't a temptation to each other, if you're dating someone and you guys are both encouraging to each other, like, have fun. Enjoy yourself, man. This was a really big one that I kind of had to learn after my first relationship because it was definitely not fun. Nice. Because it was definitely not fun. And, like, largely because of me. But here's the thing that I learned. God is the one who is in control of when you get married and who you get married to. I tried so hard to get that first relationship to work out, and then it ended quickly and in a really embarrassing way. I had no control over that, and I learned that no matter how hard I try, God can have this work out or not. And so when you're in a relationship, just think about the fact that you don't know when it's going to end. You don't know if it's going to work out. Statistically speaking, it won't. And which I'm going to read the verse that I'm getting this from. But this is from one of my favorite books in the Bible, Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. This is Solomon looking at life and looking at enjoyment. And he's one of the things he's looking at is that you have enjoyment for a time and then it just yeets on out and it passes away. And you don't know if it's going to stay. You don't know if it's going to go. And he just says, I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Like, pleasure is a gift that God gives you. God wants you to enjoy your life. In Romans, it talks about how if he has given us his son, will he not also freely give us all things? Like, God loves you. We talked about that in Genesis chapter 1, that God made a good world, and then he put man in it, and he said, now go enjoy it and say thank you. Like, well, this is one of the things that's really important, especially as we go into next week. God doesn't give you instructions so that he can be mean. God gives you instructions because he loves you. God designed life. God made life. And God knows how to most enjoy your existence. And then he says, these are the instructions I'm giving you so that you don't destroy yourself. These are the instructions I give you so that you can enjoy the world that I gave you as much as possible. And this is a broken and sinful world that we live in, and we don't live for this world. But also, there are some good things here, man. There's an entire other chapter in Ecclesiastes. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, where Solomon talks about how living in community and living with friends is better than living alone. Later on further, one of the things he says is enjoy your spouse. In the vain life that you have, in the short life that you have, enjoy the good things that are in it. And that's all over the place. Proverbs has a verse like that I'm not going to read because it's a bit risky. One of them. So, like, I just want to tell you guys, man, you're not going to be in these relationships forever. Like, enjoy your singleness. It's not going to last forever. Enjoy your relationship. You don't know how long it's going to last. But so let's bring it back in real quick so I can just close this out.
Jackson, you're crying.
It wasn't ready.
All right.
Don't even.
Anyways, all right. Thank you. So enjoy yourself. Have fun. Like, God's not looking down from heaven being like, man, those jerks enjoying themselves. Like, it brings God no pleasure for you to hate doing what he tells you to do. It's like, I've like completely lost my train of thought at this point. We're just going to yeet on out. In conclusion.
Looking at me.
You're beautiful. In conclusion.
Beautiful.
So in conclusion, the Bible says absolutely nothing about dating. These are the three things that I can tell you for sure, and then slap a thus says the Lord at the end of it, you know? You are still single while you're dating. Like, dating is not a special class that's recognized by God. You are single or you are married. What that means is that dating is just two single Christians deciding if they want to get married. And then, in the context of that, don't sin or tempt each other. If you love God and if you love the other person, you're not going to want this for them. And we're going to talk a whole lot more about a specific instance of that next week. But second, be an encouragement. If you love this person, you want them to grow. You want their ultimate good, and their ultimate good is for them to get closer to God. And if you can do that while you're dating, it's only going to get harder when you get married. And yet, that's the most important thing that you offer a person that you marry is their ability to grow, for you to encourage that. And it's the most important thing that you're looking for in a person who's going to marry you, is that you want to make sure that they're not tempting you to sin and that they are an encouragement to you, because that's not going to get better when you get married. But then also, have fun. You don't know how long it's going to last. Relationships are enjoyable. They're supposed to be enjoyable. They're supposed to be enjoyable when it's a friendship. You're supposed to enjoy your relationship with your siblings. You're supposed to enjoy your relationship with your parents. And you're supposed to enjoy your relationship with the person you're dating. This person is supposed to be your best friend for the rest of your life if you get married to them. You should enjoy their company. But I will say this. With number one and two, if a person is sinning against you or tempting you to sin, dump them. If a person has no spiritual substance and they are not encouragement to you, dump them. But there are people who they interact with someone and they're like, this person doesn't tempt me at all. And also they're extremely encouraging to me. And maybe I don't have a ton of fun with them, but I can learn how. That's fine. That's entirely within your purview to make that decision. But also, if you're like, man, this person is super boring and I have nothing in common with them and I don't think we're compatible at all, that is a 100% valid reason to not date them. Would you like to hear one more story before I pray?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
So, the most recent relationship that I was in, that's actually what it ended over, where we were dating for 3 weeks, and then we were talking to each other, and she was like, yeah, John, honestly, I just don't see myself in a relationship with you long term. And obviously, that was a difficult thing to hear, but also, you know what I said to her immediately? I said, that is a completely valid reason to end a relationship. If you don't see yourself with a person, end it, and tell them as soon as you know that. Like, well, that's one of those things. As soon as you know you're not going to marry someone, break it off, man. That's not, like, a mean thing to do. That's a very kind thing to do. Because then I was able to move on. And, like, was it? It did not. Whatever, man. Okay. But
what it's like having brothers.
Yeah, right. But literally, I lost my train of thought again. Gosh. So, enjoy your relationships, guys. God's a good God. He wants you to enjoy yourself. So long as you're doing the first two. All right, let's pray it out before we get derailed again. Lord, thank you for romance. You made it. You know how to do it best. There's no one who knows romance like God knows romance. Lord, thank you that you've given us good gifts, and these good gifts include relationships. Lord, I pray that you would help us to navigate dating well. It's a very strange portion of our culture, and it's something that is important for us to do well, and it is something that we can mess up very majorly. So I pray that you would help us to be committed to the things that matter, that we would be committed to loving you, to loving the person, and that we would navigate that relationship in the context of Christian love. And Lord, I pray that as we're going through the rest of this series, I pray that next week when we're talking about sexual purity, and the next 2 weeks when we're talking about the kind of man, the kind of woman, I pray that you would guide that study, that you would make it encouraging, that you would make this an exciting and fun thing for us to talk about. I mean, I know I'm excited about talking about it. And Lord, I pray these things in the name of our King Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.